Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans. That number is 331-979-1369. Send us your Bulls thoughts, questions, inquiries as we near the halfway point of this 2019-2020 Bulls season. Hope all of you had a enjoyable and safe and fairly warm and dry weekend. Chicagoans got a little dusting of snow, but we've certainly seen worse. Could be a lot worse for the dead of winter here in Chicago. Some fun NFL action over the weekend, some unexpected results, and of course tonight on deck we have the culmination of the college football season, the national championship game. But hey, guess what? Guess who doesn't get to watch that game from start to finish, because he'll be watching Bulls Celtics tonight. This guy. So blessed. So blessed. On today's show, I wanted to go back and give a couple thoughts on the Bulls weekend, particularly their win over the Detroit Pistons that ended that six-game losing streak that was certainly a tough one for Bulls fans to stomach. They managed to salvage a win at the second end of that back-to-back, and the Bulls have an identical schedule coming up this week. They have games Monday, Wednesday, and another Friday, Saturday back-to-back. The games just keep coming here in the month of January. And a familiar opponent who the Bulls recently lost to after playing even for about a half, Boston Celtics. Bulls are in Boston tonight trying to get their second consecutive win as they sit at 14-26 on the season. Their losses last week were, you know, more of the same. Underwhelming, really, you know, not getting a whole lot at all from their second unit. They have a game where Zach LaVine pours in 40 plus points, Kobe White catches fire and pours in 20 plus off the bench, and they still lose. Really frustrating to see that kind of stuff happen. But they do end that losing streak with a win over the Pistons on Saturday night, making it a complete four-game season sweep over the Pistons, one of the few teams in the NBA that the Bulls have figured out, which is not all that impressive considering the lack of talent on that Pistons roster, and they were shorthanded. They became even more shorthanded halfway through the game when Andre Drummond got ejected for his little altercation with Bulls center Daniel Gafford, and they were already playing without Luke Kennard. They were playing without Blake Griffin, who has been shelved with a significant knee injury. Derrick Rose did what he could to carry the load, poured in 20 points off the bench, but it wasn't enough as the Bulls win 108-99. Honestly, probably should have won more convincingly than that. Bulls had an 18-point lead at one point and led 35-20 after the first quarter in Saturday night's game, and proceeded to lose the second, third, and fourth quarters by narrow margins and held on for the win. Obviously, the couple of different takeaways from this game, Drummond doing them a favor, the Bulls ended up actually outscoring the Pistons 60-48 in the paint the night after being absolutely exposed by Miles Turner and the Pacers, who just absolutely eviscerated the Bulls to the tune of 70-some points in the paint. Drummond was not his normal self, seemed kind of disinterested from the jump in this one. And despite the fact that the Bulls are without Wendell Carter Jr. and Daniel Gafford, nor anybody else in this Bulls front court rotation can do the things Wendell does defensively, Drummond essentially just gave him a break. 9 points and 4 rebounds in his 19 minutes before being ejected. As I said, just seemed completely indifferent in that game. And the Bulls got decent performances from a couple of notable players. Zach LaVine led the way with 25 points. Not a great night shooting, especially from behind the line. 1 of 9 from three-point range for Zach. He did go a perfect 8 of 8 from the free throw line to help make up for that. And they had perhaps the most surprising part of this win, useful minutes from one Luke Kornet, who had been relegated to the depths of Jim Boylan's bench after he was a pretty regular rotational piece for the first month or so of the season. And it took Jim a while, but he eventually figured out that the way that he wants his team to play on the defensive end, Luke Kornet was just unplayable. He just has no mobility on the defensive end and no ability to come out and guard players around the perimeter. He's much more effective as a rim protector or shot blocker when he is playing in a drop coverage scheme. We saw that at times when he was with the Knicks last season, but Jim Boylan has not really done that at all. And we saw Kornet just get cooked night in and night out in the first month or so of the season. So that sent Kornet to the bench, especially considering that while he was struggling so mightily on the defensive end, he was not knocking down his shots on the offensive end. So he was giving the Bulls nothing except giving his opponents plenty of easy looks on the defensive end. So Kornet, surprisingly, 25 minutes. I believe he started the night a perfect 5 of 5 from the field, including knocking down his first 2 3-point attempts, and had 12 quick points out of the gate. And cooled off, finished 3 of 9 from downtown, 6 of 13 overall. He did grab 6 rebounds, had a couple of steals and a couple of blocks, finished with 15 points and a plus 20 off the bench. We'll see what Boylan does with Kornet's minutes as we move forward with the absence of Wendell Carter Jr. It is confirmed Gafford will be getting the start again tonight in Boston against the Celtics. Gafford had a respectable game on Saturday, 14 points, 7 rebounds, a couple of assists, a steal and a block in his 23 minutes. He did foul out, that has been a problem for not just Gafford, but a number of Bulls players this season, staying out of foul trouble. And Boylan actually had some thoughts on that that we will get to at the back end of today's show regarding his assessment of his team as we near the halfway point of the season. So a surprisingly efficient and useful night from Luke Kornet. I don't know if we'll continue to see nights like that, but it was certainly fun and a refreshing change of pace to see Kornet, who was, you know, the sort of second or third tier of roster changes this offseason after they added Satoransky and Young, sort of after the fact, late free agent season addition to this Bulls rotation. And, you know, credit to Jim Boylan for having the gall or the stones to give it a try, knowing that he's shorthanded as he is in the front court now without Wendell, and how much Kornet struggled at the beginning of the season. But, of course, there was Jim Boylan after the game saying, you know, such classic Jim Boylan things like, well, we brought Luke Kornet here because, you know, he's a guy with great character and spirit and all that stuff on a night when he actually was useful as a basketball player. But let's be honest, who was surprised by such things? Downside to this win over the Pistons is you're not proving anything by beating a bad team for the fourth time this season. We talked about it a little bit on Outsider Saturday night. With this season sweep of the Pistons and the fact that the Bulls have also beat up on the Hawks and have 3 wins against them this season and also won both of their games against the young and struggling Memphis Grizzlies, those three teams comprise 9 of the Bulls' 14 wins this season. 9 of their very modest 14 total wins have come against Detroit, Memphis, and Atlanta. 3 bad teams. They're 5-26 against the rest of the NBA. So, cool. The Bulls have the Pistons' number, and especially have the Pistons' number when they are shorthanded and, you know, with certainly with Blake Griffin on the shelf, their best player, Andre Drummond, is disinterested in the game and then gets himself ejected. Winning a game with those circumstances by 9 points, forgive me if I'm not super excited about that. The other part of this game that I did not like, and again, credit to Cornette for actually being useful for once, Cornette in 25 minutes off the bench took 13 shots. Lauri Markkanen, starting, played 28 minutes and took 11 shots. Markkanen with a, you know, fairly pedestrian, but at this point what we're accustomed to, 14-7 game off the bench, in his 28 minutes as a starter. 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from three-point range, but 28 minutes. That, to me, is the most worrisome number in Markkanen's box score because we continue to see this baffling lack of minutes for Lowry. Struggling to try and pull himself out of the rut that he began the season with, he's started to shoot the ball better. He started to show a little bit more of his aggression in transition and tries to get looks in and around the rim. But how does he play only 3 minutes more than Luke Kornet? How does he take 2 fewer shots than Luke Kornet? None of any of that makes sense to me. And, you know, we have Bulls fans that, you know, comment on our show and tweet at me and my fellow, you know, Bulls Twitter fam saying, we got to trade Lowry. This kid's just, he's a bust. And I'm sorry, I just refuse to believe that when he's playing in a system that does not help develop his skills, but hinders the skills that he has. You know, I know I've said that before. I know I've said it before on this podcast. I refuse to believe that Lauri Markkanen is regressing this badly solely because of his own accord and his own lack of development and his own lack of putting the work in to make himself better. And again, 28 minutes, inexcusable. Inexcusable. You're supposed to be building with this guy as one of the foundational pieces. And, you know, big picture, worrisome conversation, maybe he's not a foundational piece. But you're playing Zach LaVine, who you also think is a foundational piece, 36 minutes. And Lowry, 28. Even in a flawed system, how do you expect this kid to find any kind of groove and develop his skills on the court if you're not even playing him 30 minutes a night as a starter? Inexcusable. So I was frustrated to see that. My biggest gripe, other than the fact that beating the Pistons a fourth time is nothing to write home about and nothing impressive, it's the fact that Markkanen once again is getting shafted on minutes by this coach for inexplicable reasons. Before we get to my thoughts on Jim Boylan's assessment of his team as they reach the halfway point of their season, and ooh boy, was that a doozy, a word from our friends at Echelon Fit. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, elite athletes, and Bulls fans, whatever your activity level. And with daily, live, and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym again. I like the sound of that. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, they'll give you your money back, guaranteed. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton with Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. Echelon, it's your time. I know times are tough for us Bulls fans, but you know what brings me comfort every once in a while? Thinking about the fact that spring training is right around the corner. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, and best of all, Chicagoans, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another, and you can meet MLB players and get autographs before these spring training games. Not only that, check out the amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And if you're bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for family outings. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for the kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's arizona.com/springtraining. All right, Bulls fans, so this is the other thing that we have to talk about today. This came to us from our Bulls insider at NBC Sports Chicago, Casey Johnson, who asked Jim Boylan to assess his team's performance and their current situation as we reach that halfway mark of our 82-game regular season. In case some of you haven't seen it, I will read it for you right now, and then I will give you my thoughts. Quote from Jim Boylan: "I'm encouraged by the growth of our team. I like the fact we've established a style of play at both ends. I would like us to be more consistent. I'm disappointed in one part of our defense. I think we foul too much. I'd like us to improve at defending without fouling. I'd also like us to improve our defensive rebounding. Those are two huge pillars that would take our defense to the next level. We've missed Wendell in our defense. He's a huge piece, but we gotta move forward on that. Those two guys backing him up have to continue to grow on the defensive end and help us. Offensively, there has been times where I like the way we have made basketball plays. We get back doors, we're reading and reacting. That's what we're trying to teach and coach here. We do have some inconsistent moments where we're stagnant or we're not organized or our communication is poor. If you have two or three of those in a game, you can maybe win. If you have five or six of them, it's going to be more difficult. We had seven of those in the game Friday night and three against Detroit. That shows where we need to grow. I love how hard we work. I like the fact that we are building a system and foundation at both ends." End quote. Wow. Where to begin? I guess the beginning. Let's work our way through this. Jim Boylan is encouraged by the growth of his team. What growth? No. Seriously, what growth? We keep hearing these phrases like growth plate and building a foundation. How has your team grown? How? You occasionally beat bad teams, as we were just noting earlier, as they swept the Detroit Pistons for four of their wins on the season. And you beat up the Atlanta Hawks, and you've got wins over the Grizzlies a couple of times, and you have wins over other bad teams like the Knicks or the Kings. Where's the growth? You have one win against a 500 team, and you're almost halfway through a full season. Where's the growth? you continue to get out-coached and out-maneuvered and out-adjusted by your counterpart, opposing team's head coaches, at halftime, which is why your team continues to lose third quarters. Your team's field goal percentage in fourth quarters is the worst in the NBA. Moving on to Jim's thoughts about the defense. I'm disappointed in one part of our defense. I think we fouled too much. And then actually adding a second, he says, I'd like us to improve our defensive rebounding. All right, so here's the issue with that, Jim. The style of defense that you insist on playing, this gimmicky, over-aggressive, trapping, doubling defense that you insist on playing, that even the most layperson of basketball fans can see, is exposing your defense to easy looks in the paint and open corner threes, even if you make your proper rotations. This is what you've chosen to do. And that style of defense that is over-aggressive and let's all heap all kinds of praise on one Chris Dunn for leading the NBA in takeaways and steals per game. Guess what? Chris Dunn has been battling with foul trouble all season long because you are telling him to play this style of defense. So you're saying that you want your guys to be better at playing defense without fouling. The defense that you are making them play is what's resulting in them getting in foul trouble. Do you not see that? He would also like them to be better at their defensive rebounding. Sometimes, yes, the fault lies on the players. A couple of times in their losses to New Orleans and again in Indiana, the Bulls were, or against Indiana, I should say, that was a home game, the Bulls were failing to box out, giving second chance points, especially late in close games. You cannot afford that, and some of that is on the players. Lauri Markkanen, Luke Kornet, Zach LaVine, plenty of guilty parties when it comes to failing to box out and get rebounds and allow the bigs of your opponent to crash those offensive boards every night. And this Bulls team does not have that margin for error. However, once again, just like this defense that you are insisting that your team play almost entirely through every 48-minute game every night leads to your players committing fouls that they don't need to commit and getting themselves in foul trouble, this style of defense that you play, which forces your bigs to play away from the basket, is also contributing to your team on most nights getting worked on the defensive boards and getting out-rebounded by double digits almost every night. The two issues you have, sir, with your defense that you are so stubbornly sticking to, even in the absence of Wendell, who was a piece so crucial to making it kind of work, that you are going to be continuously, repeatedly exposed even more egregiously than you have been so far this season. We foul too much. We're not good on the boards. Those are two direct results of the defense that you insist on playing. So what the hell are you talking about? Are you aware that that is a problem? Those are problems that you are causing? I'm guessing no, he is not aware. Offensively, there have been times where Jim likes the way that they've made basketball plays. We get back doors. We're reading and reacting. That's something we're trying to teach and coach. Okay. You like the way that they've made basketball plays? Occasionally you get backdoor cuts from players. You're reading and reacting. Does any of that sound like concrete analysis of what his team is trying to accomplish on the offensive end? No. And why is that? Because in this weird, like, obsequious, amorphous multi-ball handler system that Jim is so obsessed with, there is no system. There are no boundaries, and there are no established, hashtag trademark, pecking orders of what you're supposed to be doing on offense.
Just this weekend, Jim Boylan called a timeout not a minute into the second half because Coby White brought the ball up and nobody on offense knew what they were supposed to be doing. They didn't know what they were supposed to be, quote-unquote, running. This team has no half-court offense. This team's half-court offense is Zach LaVine tries to beat his man off the dribble, or Coby White tries to beat his man off the dribble. In transition, we've occasionally seen some nice ball movement. And a couple of times this season, we've seen a player make a nice cut off the ball. And that, I guess, is worth referencing from Jim Boylan. But there is a reason that your team, halfway through the season, is statistically one of the worst offensive teams in the league. 28th or 29th, the last time I checked. So what are these positives that you're talking about? What are these quote-unquote basketball plays that you're talking about? Reading and reacting. What the fuck are you talking about? What is this that you are so confident in building? He said at the beginning of the quote, he likes the fact that he's established a style of play at both ends. What is your style of play on the offensive end? Knowing that it has its faults, we at least can identify what the style is on defense. And even as people who are fans and not professionals, not analysts, not coaches, not former players, but people who understand the sport of basketball and the different strategies behind it, you can identify what he's trying to do on defense. You can't identify a style of play on offense. There is no offensive identity to this team. Multi-ball handler system. Get out in transition. That's why we like to play our aggressive defense. Create the turnovers. Score in transition. Well, guess what? You're not even that efficient at capitalizing on the turnovers that you create. Because your team can't run a fast break. How many times have we seen the Bulls just have horrible issues with spacing and proper decision-making and execution when they do create a turnover and can't convert in transition? Because unless Zach LaVine or Coby White have a clear path, nobody on this team collectively can run a fast break for shit. And that's better than what we see in half court. And that's the scary reality. What is this style of play that you say you're pleased to have established? You don't have one. You don't have one, and that's why your team is one of the worst offensive teams in the league. That's why you have 14 wins, only one of which has come against a quality opponent. At least he does acknowledge the fact that they have inconsistencies and moments of stagnation or where they're disorganized or their communication is poor. Thank you at least for acknowledging that, Jim. But to tack that on after saying that you're happy with what the offense has accomplished and the style of play and the quote-unquote basketball plays and the reading and reacting, these positives that you're trying to point to aren't there. Unless I'm blind and unless every other Bulls fan out there is blind, we can acknowledge the issues that you're pointing to. Inconsistent execution, stagnant offensive movement, lack of organization, lack of communication. Those are things that we can see as fans who watch every night and say, yes, you are right. Those are issues that your offense has. But we don't see the positives you're talking about. And then the final thoughts here about how he says if you have two or three of those in a game, referencing, you know, the stagnation moments, the disorganized moments, the lack of communication moments, that you can still maybe win. If you have here's the quote. If you have two or three of those in a game, you can maybe win. Wow. Love that he threw the maybe in there. If you have five or six of them, it's going to be more difficult. And here he's counting these moments where the offense falters in one of these ways: stagnation, disorganization, poor communication. He said we had 7 of those in the game Friday night against the Pacers and 3 against Detroit. So he's saying, well, we lost one of those games because we had 6 or 7 of those moments. And in the game against the Pistons, we only had 3. Nice little pat on the back there. That shows where we need to grow. And he ends with, I like the fact that we are building a system and foundation at both ends. All right. I've said it already, but I will repeat it. You aren't building shit on the offensive end. And the numbers back that up. The eye test certainly backs that up, but the numbers back it up too. You, sir, are not building shit on the offensive end. And the system, the foundation that you're building on the defensive end is a gimmick that is riddled with flaws. And it's only going to get worse now that you are without Wendell Carter Jr. for 4 to 6 weeks. And we've repeatedly heard him say that he is going to stick with this system, even in the absence of Wendell. Yes, more so than the offensive system, we can identify what the defensive system is. But if you are building this defensive system and you're losing 3 or 4 times as often as you're winning, is it really the correct defensive system to be building? If it exposes these flaws that you have issues with, like your players getting in foul trouble and your team getting outworked and outboarded on the glass every night, and you always are coming up on the losing end, unless you're playing a shit team for the 4th time this season, is it the system you should be building? Is it the system that maximizes the strengths and minimizes the weaknesses of the roster and the talent that you have available? Short answer, no. Absolutely not. That is the issue that I have. That is, I think, the issue that a lot of Bulls fans have when they see what Jim Boylan has tried to do this season and has fallen so woefully short. And how frequently have we heard him take accountability for any of those shortcomings? I'm still waiting for him to take accountability on the fact that these issues that he points out on offense and defense, they're largely on him. And these positives that he sees on both ends, he's giving himself a pat on the back for that. I'm proud. I like the fact that we've established a style of play. We're building a system and a foundation. Man, you're 14 and 26. You haven't built shit. Most of the players on your roster are regressing. You haven't built shit. To borrow the key word that my buddy John Sabine from Bulls Outsiders likes to use all the time, for the love of God, stop gaslighting us with this ridiculous assessment of your team halfway through the season. Stop gaslighting us. We don't believe it for a second, because most of us out there have eyeballs and watch your team play. And it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up at all. So that was a fun little Jim Boylan moment. I don't know what he's watching, but clearly this fan base is watching something different. That's it for today. Appreciate all of you tuning in. Just a reminder to hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Or you can talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_Peck. Jordan's at Jordan C. Malley, and we are at Locked On Bulls. 4 games on deck this week, starting with the Celtics in Boston tonight. We'll see how that goes. Maybe we'll get our second win against the 500 team this season. Maybe we won't.
for my partner Jordan Malley at PECSN. Thanks so much for listening, Bulls Nation. Appreciate all of you out there. Dark times, we got to stick together. We will talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully enjoy Bulls Celtics tonight. See you red. Be good. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com